Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spark Plug Radio. I'm sorry, welcome to People You Need to Know on Spark Plug Radio. I'm your host, Spark Plug, publisher of People You Need to Know magazine, the publication which celebrates women business owners by giving them tremendous recognition, unrivaled respect, great opportunities, energetic encouragement, and a stronger brand identity in Metro Atlanta and beyond. Our show today is brought to you by The Hatchett Firm. For years, you've seen her on television as Judge Hatchett. Now she is stepping beyond the bench to fight for you. The name you can trust, the results you deserve. They can be reached at 1-844-428-2438. Look for Judge Glenda Hatchett and the Hatchett Firm in the next edition of People You Need to Know magazine. In this segment, we're going to be speaking with Atlanta's podiatrist, Dr. Jocelyn K. Curry. She'll be answering the frequently asked questions about foot problems in proper foot care. My guest today is an Atlanta native. She received her B.S. in biology from Morgan State University and her doctorate from Temple University School of Podiatric Medicine. Today, she is a podiatrist at the Ankle and Foot Centers of Georgia. Her medical specialties include pediatric deformities, sports injuries, diabetic foot care, and reconstructive surgery ranging from bunions to ankle fractures. We're so very honored to have on the phone today a woman who is always willing to share her knowledge of proper foot care, Dr. Jocelyn K. Curry. Welcome to Spark Plug Radio.
Thank you so much, Spark Plug, for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
All right. How you doing today, Doc?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic, and I'm trying to get better. Now, we know a young lady with two offices like yourself, and you probably are a part of a couple of hospitals, correct?
I am. Yes, I am. I'm part of the Cat Medical Hospital.
Okay, so we know you're extremely busy, so we're going to get right into it, okay?
Sure will.
So tell us, Dr. Curry, how did you become interested in the field of podiatric medicine?
Well, I've always had a deep love for medicine, and that started early on as a child. And when I was in high school, my mother had to visit a podiatrist for heel pain. So that's when I was first introduced to the field. While I was in college, I decided to look into all fields of medicine and to kind of hone in my direction of what field I wanted to go into. So I visited some podiatry schools in New York and Philadelphia and Ohio. Got a feel for podiatry, visited some podiatrists in the city of Baltimore while I was in college, and really fell in love with the field. Although it's just the foot and ankle, there's a lot that goes into it. We all need our feet to keep walking and moving around and getting around. So I found that it's always a field that's really needed. And with it being the foot and ankle, there's still, you know, pediatrics, there's sports injuries, there's surgery, there's basic primary care. So it's a little bit of everything all into one part of the body. So I really
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, what are some of the most common foot problems that you treat in your office?
Well, in my office, I think the most common one I see these days is heel pain, which we call plantar fasciitis. With the weather being nicer, people tend to get outside and starting to run and kickball and play all these sports and hiking. And the heel pain really starts to kick up in the office. Plantar fasciitis is a inflammation of the ligament that's an arch supporter for the foot. People will usually come with classic symptoms of pain when they first get out the bed and step down and having to hobble to the bathroom. Or if they sit for a while at work and go to stand up, they're hobbling those first few steps. And that pain can be really debilitating. So I treat a lot of heel pain with a lot of conservative therapy. We see also things like ingrown toenails. I do those procedures a lot in the office as well. Like I said, diabetic foot care. Diabetics definitely have to be seen by podiatrists at least annually, but mostly usually 3 to 4 times a year just to make sure that everything is in working order because things change as a diabetic, especially with your feet. So we always want to keep an eye on those things.
All right. Well, what is the difference between hammer toes, bunions, and corns?
Well, hammer toes and bunions, number one, are actually bony deformities. Corns are more of a soft tissue issue. So the hammer toe is actually when the toe contracts to a point where it cannot be straightened out anymore. The toe is bent up, and that contracture comes from long-term use of maybe wearing high-heel shoes or from wearing shoes that are too tight. Some of them, a lot of it's just genetics, that the tendons tend to change how they work over time and contract the toes up. And that same, like bunions, are also partially genetic. It's like your eye color is genetic. If your parents have bunions, you're likely to get them as well. And that's actually where that bone at the big toe starts to move and shift over and pushes the big toe toward the second toe, which can in itself also create a hammer toe at the second toe. And so that's the bump that we see at the side of the big toe joint. Corns and calluses are actually a soft tissue manifestation of those bony prominences, meaning that they're pressure points. So those are areas where the body is getting more pressure than it likes, so it builds an external cushion or callus or corn to protect the bone underneath. Typically, corns, we call those the calluses on toes, and calluses are that hard skin that's anywhere else on the foot. So those are areas where your body's saying, I don't like this pressure, I need to protect the bone. It's Mother Nature's way of protecting it, protecting the foot, and that's why it comes back. No matter how much you shave it down, go get a pedicure, get the feet scraped and all this good stuff, it comes right back in 2 months because it's a protective mechanism.
Wow. So with hammer toes, bunions, corns, plantar fasciitis, keeps you very busy.
It does. It does indeed. It keeps me busy because everyone wants to have pretty feet or feet that at least don't hurt, even if they're not pretty. And so I do a lot of that. It makes sure people keep walking and keep moving and keep running and exercising and working. And so, yeah, it keeps us busy every day.
Well, you mentioned high-heeled shoes. Do high-heeled shoes pose a specific danger for women in their overall foot health?
Well, I'm not going to vilify high-heeled shoes because I wear them. You know, I'm a female podiatrist, so everything in moderation is important. I have my fair share of high heels that I wear at church and special occasions and whatnot. So it's the length of time that women wear high-heeled shoes. That's the problem. You shouldn't wear a 3 or 4 inch high heel shoe every day for 7-8 hours a day if it's for your job. You have to kind of switch up what you wear. Now, actually, a small heel, a half inch to an inch and a half, is actually great for the foot. Most people have a lowered arch or a flat foot, and wearing a slight small heel is actually good for the foot. It helps to recreate the natural position of the foot and allow you to walk a lot better. Now, as we start to get higher in those stilettos, now we're putting more pressure on the ball of the foot, on the bones of the foot that are not structurally designed to take the weight of our body on it. There's a reason why the heel bone is the largest bone in the foot, because it's meant to take the weight of our body. The bones in the ball of the feet and the toes are much smaller for a reason. So when we wear high heel shoes for too long, now we're changing the position of the body and pushing everything forward onto the ball of the foot and creating those calluses on the ball of the feet, creating hammer toes because the toes are staying contracted, trying to balance you and keep you upright. Those toes are constantly contracted, and they get to a point where they can no longer straighten out and be flattened out, and now we have hammer toes. So it's all about moderation. It's all about, you know, taking some other shoes to work, you know, not walking the streets in the high heels, you know, use your flatter or lower heel shoes to walk to work and maybe switch when you get in the office. Just kind of switching it up and not wearing the same shoe every day as well. That's also important.
Okay, so that's why entertainers like Patti LaBelle, she'd take her high heel shoes off around the middle of her performance.
Exactly.
Ah.
I can't take it anymore. Got to kick those off and keep on dancing and entertaining.
Okay, all right. It's all coming together now. All right. So
yeah.
Now, I know you probably said something that a lot of the ladies like hearing. Please reiterate that. An inch and a half is pretty good for the feet?
Exactly, yeah. So around a half inch to an inch and a half, it actually helps the body to recreate that arch. Because if you have a flat foot, I should say, because the bones have a natural angle to them, and when you wear a flat shoe, you change that angle. When you elevate the heel, it allows that angle to work and better conflict with the rest of the body. It takes tension off the Achilles tendon, allows you to push off and have a better straighter gait. So wearing a slight heel, even around the house, even my house shoes are a wedge sandal. I don't wear pretty much flat anything because if I do, I start to get Achilles tendonitis, the pain at the back of the heel. But I switch those up too. Sometimes I have some flat flats I walk in. Most of the time I'm in a wedge sandal around the house, some dance goes that I have. So Slight Heel is actually really good.
Okay. Well, speaking of gait, what is the difference between pronation and supination, and how does this affect our gait?
Well, pronation and supination are actually phases of gait. So we all do it. Every step you take, you pronate and supinate. Some people actually overpronate, and that's typically those who have flat feet, meaning that the arch part of your foot is hitting the ground longer than someone who doesn't have as flat of a foot. On the flip side, those who have a high arch tend to supinate longer than those that don't. And so they tend to put more pressure on the outside column of their foot. So overpronators are those with flat feet tend to have tendonitis around the inside part of the ankle. They may be more prone to having that plantar fasciitis or heel pain, arch pain, sometimes bunions actually are more common in those who have flat feet or overpronators. And on the other side of it, those who oversupinate or have a high arch foot tend to have pain along the outside part of the foot, outside part of the leg, are more prone to having ankle sprains to the outside part of the ankle. So it's all about knowing your foot type, knowing what shoe is going to work best for you, and staying in that line. And keeping in mind that all shoes aren't created equal. All sneakers aren't great for you just because it's a sneaker. All Nikes, all New Balance. It's not about the name of the shoe. It's the style of the shoe and what you need for your foot type. So we all pronate and supinate. It's just a matter of how much you do of what phase to determine if you're going to have pain or problems from it.
Okay. All right. Well, Dr. Curry, tell us, what is the link between aching feet and lower back pain?
Well, that link is there because everything is connected, of course. The lower back has the nerves that go to the legs and feet that innervate, that give a sensation, that tell the muscles to move. So if you had a lower back injury, like from a car accident, or you had a slip disc, or people have a sciatica, which is that large nerve in the back of the leg, issues there, those nerves all innervate and talk to the feet and tell them what to do. So if there's an injury there, it's going to transmit down to the feet and cause some pain in the feet. On the other side, going up, if your feet hurt and you're not walking properly or you have on bad shoes or you're standing a long period of time, you're going to change your gait in that aspect as well. And that's going to change your posture, which can ultimately affect the lower back and create lower back pain. So it can go either directly from the feet up or from the back down. And it's all a matter of just finding the source of the pain, correcting that, and then everything usually falls in line and gets better. A lot of people have what we call compensation pain. So there's one particular thing that started the whole cascade of events, and everything else is compensating for it, trying to fix it. But we have to find that source of pain to get rid of everything.
All right. Well, let's get back to bunions. What natural method brings the most relief to bunion pain?
Natural method is going to be like just changing shoes, trying to avoid those shoes that rub and irritate the bunion. Most people want to wear, you know, the cute, fashionable shoes. And we can't all wear, you know, the fancy shoes or the ones that have the pointed toe or the ones that are too narrow, even for the guys. I see the guys with the dress shoes that are too narrow. And if you have a bunion, it's going to irritate that bunion. It's going to irritate that joint and create pain. So that's the first thing you can do, is to avoid shoes that irritate the bunion. Other natural methods, of course, are like soaking and Epsom salt. Those type of home remedies help to decrease the inflammation associated with the bunion pain. Using like topical pain relievers like an Astral Cream or Biofreeze kind of help to calm down the inflammation associated with it as well. Icing also helps if you have a lot of inflammation or warmth to the bunion. People say that a bunion gets, you know, really red or swollen or hot, and icing it can help to calm that down as well. So those are some natural remedies. And then, of course, the next step, people may need to take a pain pill, and that's maybe your anti-inflammatory, like the Motrin, Advil, Aleve, are going to help with the inflammation associated with it if it gets that bad.
All right. Well, one of your specialties is reconstructive surgery. What should our listeners know regarding foot surgery?
Well, first thing with foot surgery is that, keeping in mind that it is surgery, okay? It's not that it's, of course, it's not heart surgery, but you still have to recover from it. And our feet are important to walking around and take a lot of weight. So there's usually no quick turnaround when it comes to foot surgery. People tend to come in my office thinking, oh, I can have this little hammer toe fixed on the back of my stilettos in a month. Well, it doesn't work that way. You have to give your body time to heal. You have to give them time to get rid of the swelling and to get used to this change, keeping in mind that you have may have had this bunion for 15 years or that hammer toe for 10 years, and your body has accommodated for it, has changed its gait because of it, and now you've gone to straighten it out. So now you have to give your body a chance to realize, okay, things are back to normal. They're straight. Now I can walk differently. So it's a process. So keeping in mind that foot surgery, you may be 6 months to get back to running. Now, my runners have the hardest time with foot surgery because it's like an addiction for them. They got to get back out there on that pavement. Well, you got to go slow. You know, you have to also keep in mind that physical therapy is an important part of foot surgery. We don't want joints to get stiff. Physical therapy is a key point to getting our range of motion back, to making sure we keep the swelling down. And keep in mind also with your job, if you stand at work, you may need to be off for 2 to 3 months after a major foot surgery. You can't go back straight back to an 8-hour shift after having foot surgery. You have to work into two or three hours and take breaks. So all those things are important. You know, talk to your doctor about what you do every day. If you take care of small children, you know, if you have to run around behind somebody like I do, I have small kids, you know, foot surgery may not be in your cards right now. You may have to wait a few years. Or if you have a job where there is no light duty, you may have to wait a while so you can sit down and elevate your foot and not be on that particular job or do that particular activity for 4 to 5 months. So just the biggest thing is knowing that there's time involved. There's nothing fast about recovering from surgery.
All right. Well, speaking of your family, how are the twins doing?
Oh, the twins are awesome. They're great. They're good babies. They're just over 2 months, and they're growing and doing well and getting big, and my 2-year-old, he's loving them and he's helping out, and he's turned into a great big brother. So we have a busy house around here.
It sounds like it.
Yes.
Dr. Curry, what are some exercises we can do to keep our feet healthy?
Keeping our feet healthy, most important, one of the biggest things is moisturizing the feet. I think this is for my guys, because for some reason my husband is guilty too. They tend to stop with lotion at the ankles. It don't moisturize the feet, and it's skin. It has skin like the rest of the body. So keeping the skin moisturized and hydrated will help prevent you know, the fissures or cracks in the skin from being really dry. When skin gets really dry, then you're more prone to getting an infection, like a fungus infection or athlete's foot, because the skin cracks, and any type of bacteria or fungus can get right through that crack and start setting up shop. So you got to keep the skin moisturized and hydrated, and that's important. Exercising, of course, is great. Anything that's going to improve blood flow and circulation to the feet, to the area, is going to keep those muscles and joints lubricated and keep us moving even longer. So definitely moving around and doing exercises with the feet, like, you know, rotating the ankles every so often. If you find that you're sitting at work a lot, you want to move the legs up and down, like you're pressing the gas pedal, just to keep those calf muscles circulating, circulation going through them. And keeping the joints lubricated is important. Just not getting too stiff. So those are some good things for good foot health.
Well, tell your husband I'm guilty of that too. So I have to go below the ankles. Okay.
Exactly. Don't stop. You should do that on socks. It still needs lotion.
Well, I'm going to do that after I get off the phone with you today. All right. Now, let me ask you this question, because I was reading some information about you on the net last night, and that, you know, we have you featured on the top story post on sparkplugpeople.com. And I want to know, who was this wise person that gave you that medicine set when you were a little girl?
That would be my mother. My mother, she gave me a plastic doctor's kit when I was about 6 years old for Christmas. And she
Beautiful.
Told me that I would go around the house trying to take everybody's blood pressure and use a little plastic stethoscope, looking through their heart. And she said, I would not give up with that thing for a good 6 months. I walked around trying to test everybody around the house. So
now,
ever since then, I've been in love with medicine.
And now you're a doctor. Beautiful. Your mother's a smart lady, and she's a visionary at the same time.
Yes,
wow.
She was indeed, definitely.
All right. Well, Dr. Curry, before we bring this interview to a close, tell the people in our listening audience today why you decided to advertise Ankle and Foot Centers of Georgia in People You Need to Know magazine.
Well, I just got a good vibe from you, Spark Plug, and just from looking at the magazine myself, that it's an advertisement and the marketing route I wanted to go. It had You featured a lot of beautiful and smart and intelligent women in the Atlanta area, and I felt like I needed to be a part of that family, that team as well, to just continue to get the word out about foot care and podiatry and what I can do to help keep you moving, keep those feet in good shape.
Well, we definitely going to look forward to having you back on Spark Plug Radio again. And tell our listeners, how can they connect with you?
All right. Well, I have two offices. I'm a part of a large group of ankle and foot centers in Georgia, but I practice mainly out of our Lithonia office, which is at DeKalb Medical, the Hillendale campus, and also at Emory Midtown Hospital, the old Crawford Long Hospital. I have an office there as well. At my Lithonia office, the number there is 770-981-9011. You can also find us on ankleandfootcenters.com. You can also find more information about the two offices that I practice.
All right. Give out your phone number one more time.
770-981-9011 is the Lithonia office, and the Midtown, Emory Midtown office, the number is 678-702-0620.
And that address over in Lithonia is 5910 Hillendale Drive, Suite 102.
Exactly, exactly. That's us. We're right down the first floor in the physicians building.
All right. Now, did you have any other thing you liked or things you'd like to share with our listening audience regarding, you know, foot problems and foot care before we wrap up?
In general, I just like to say take care of your feet. They travel a lot of miles, so don't ignore them. Foot pain is not normal. You know, there can be some achiness if you do, you know, some walking and running and exercising, but you should not have foot pain on a daily basis. You pretend to ignore foot pain and say, oh, it'll get better, or I'll just soak it and it'll get better. But you don't have to be in pain. There are things you can do like custom inserts for your shoes to better balance the foot if you have to be standing and walking to give you a better everyday feel. Just keep in mind that foot pain isn't normal. People, I get that a lot. People think they should just walk around with it, and you don't have to. So I'm here to help you keep you moving.
Been hurting for so long, they think it's normal.
Right, right. It's like, oh, people are supposed to hurt. No, they're not. It doesn't have to be that way.
Well, Dr. Jocelyn K. Curry, Atlanta's podiatrist with Ankle and Foot Centers of Georgia, thanks for spending some of your most valuable and precious time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. You've been listening to Spark Plug Radio, the radio station that shines a brighter spotlight on women business owners. To listen to even more people you need to know, just Google Spark Plug Radio or visit our website at sparkplugpeople.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at PYNTK. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us at sparkplugpeople@gmail.com. I want to take a moment right now to thank our executive producer and my lovely wife, Miss Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for doing another delightful job behind the scenes. So until next time, this is Spark Plug, the world's number one promoter of women business owners, reminding you that People You Need to Know magazine shines the spotlight on women business owners like no other company on earth. When you're ready to move out of the crowd and get into the spotlight, give us a call at 770-460-5995. Thanks again for tuning in. And be sure to tell your friends about Spark Plug Radio.